1, he begins to talk to the Romans about his desire to come to them. And he says this, starting in, I'm going to just start in the beginning of the chapter. I think we'll do that. We'll kind of read through this again. He says, Paul, a bondservant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated to the gospel of God. And that's Paul's calling. We know that the word of God comes to us through who? Came to us through the apostles and prophets, the words of Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit gave utterance to these men, and Paul was one of these apostles. And through Paul, we have more of what? The word of God than anything else, than anywhere else in the Bible. Paul is more prolific in his writing and giving us the words of Jesus Christ than anyone else. But he says he was separated the gospel of God, he says, which he promised before through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures. And so we know in the Old Testament, what was there the promise of? There was a promise of a Messiah. There was a promise of man's sins being forgiven by the death of that Messiah. But no one really understood that. The prophets, they longed to understand. They longed to look into these things. And they inquired at what time or what way these things would come about and when these things be manifest. But they spoke of those things. Anybody read Isaiah 53 recently? I always love to go back and read Isaiah 53. So in your own time, go back and read Isaiah 53. Isaiah the prophet, speaking of that work that the Messiah would do on the cross, speaking of the crucifixion, his death there for our sin, his being able to heal us of the sin disease by his stripes and so forth. And so those things were promised before by the prophets and the Holy Scriptures concerning his son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who was born of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection of the dead. Through him we have received grace and apostleship, Paul says, for obedience to the faith among all nations for his name, among whom you also are the called of Jesus Christ. To all who are in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. He says, first I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers, making request, if by some means, now at last, I may find a way in the will of God to come to you. For I long to see you, that I may impart to you some spiritual gift, so that you may be established. That is, that I may be encouraged together with you by the mutual faith of both you and me. Now I do not want you to be unaware, brethren, that I often planned to come to you, but was hindered until now, that I might have some fruit among you also, just as among the other Gentiles. I am a debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and the unwise. So as much as in me, I am ready to preach the gospel to you who are in Rome also. So Paul's desire was to preach the gospel in Rome. His desire was to go and help establish the believers and also do evangelistic work there. And as we notice there, he says that he desired in verse 11 that they might be established, that he may impart some spiritual gift, and that would be the gift of evangelism, the gift of teaching, that they might be established. Now, that word established is sterizo, and the idea is that they would be fixed, that they would be firm, not people easily move from the faith. And so we see there that Paul infers that the gospel and the preaching of the gospel is that which keeps people from being moved out of that place of faith, moved away from that which is the sound teachings of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we need to stay fixed in that place. And so it's interesting, he starts his letter with talking about them being established, having that fruit amongst them, where there's growth in their spiritual growth in them, as well as spiritual growth in him. And it's all through the gospel of Jesus Christ, that good news that starts with the message of the cross and continues on through the New Testament as we have the mysteries of God fully revealed to us there in the New Testament. Now, as we go to the end of the book, and we can go back to chapter 16 now, at the very end, as I said in Paul's doxology, as he's beginning to praise God, he praises God here about something very specific. And it relates to what he said there in the very beginning of the chapter. He starts out in verse 25 and he says, now to him who is able to establish you. Okay. Notice the same word there, establish. Okay. And the word established, sterizo there, is the word again, to him who's able to establish you. And he goes on to say that in verse 27, to God alone, wise be glory through Jesus Christ forever. Amen. So it's God who's able to establish us. Okay. And notice he's going to tell us how he establishes. And the word there is to fix and to confirm and to strengthen, to make us sound, to make us people that are not easily moved away. So God is the one who can establish us. And he says it's according to my gospel. Now, it's interesting that Paul calls it his gospel. I think that's cool that he calls it his gospel because it's so familiar to him. And because he's one of the foundational workers of the church, one of those apostles and prophets through which those teachings come through. We know that the apostles and prophets are the foundation, Jesus Christ being the chief cornerstone. Okay, so the words that come through Jesus Christ then came to the apostles and prophets. And so Paul can call it his gospel, because the Lord Jesus Christ gave it to him to share with the Gentiles. And Paul was faithful to that ministry to the Gentiles. It wasn't that he neglected Jews, but his ministry was primarily to the Gentiles. And so he went out and did that as he was called by the Spirit of God to do that. So he says, now to him, God, who's able to establish you according to my gospel, and according to the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery kept secret since the world began. So he's saying that God can establish us. He can cause us to be fixed, cause us to be those people who are firm by the gospel of Jesus Christ, that which was given by the prophets or kept secret since the beginning of the world, but has now been revealed by the prophets. Now, it's interesting here because Paul is probably talking about this revealing of this mystery now being through the prophets of the New Testament, okay? So we had the prophets of the Old Testament who gave insight into these things, but they themselves weren't sure when these things would happen or how it would all come about. They knew that God would fulfill on his promises, but they weren't sure exactly how that would take place or at what time or what place that would be. But then as we come forward after the death and burial of Christ, the resurrection of Christ, then we have then the apostles and prophets who are being given the fullness of the revelation of Jesus Christ. They're having these mysteries fully made known to them. The mysteries were truths that were hidden in the Old Testament that have been laid bare, laid open in the New Testament. And so we see now that they're being given and opened up here as these writings are coming forth. And so he says, it's according to them, those things that were kept secret have now been made manifest by the prophetic scriptures. Now, we know that the scriptures are prophetic, right? Let's go over real quickly to 2 Peter. And I think this is important, maybe an important place to start looking at some things here. In 2 Peter, Peter talking about Jesus being transfigured before him on the Mount of Transfiguration says this in verse 16 of chapter 1. He says, "For we did not follow cunningly devised fables when we made known to you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For he received from God the Father honor and glory when such a voice came to him from the excellent glory. This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. And we heard this voice which came from heaven when we were with him on the holy mountain." And so, he says, "we have the prophetic word confirmed, which you do well to heed as a light that shines in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises your hearts, knowing this first, that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation, for prophecy never came by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit." Now, primarily, he's talking about the Old Testament prophets. They were moved by the Holy Spirit and they gave these utterances. And he says there that it was not of any private interpretation. In other words, the scriptures did not originate with the men. The scriptures originated with God and were given to the men so that they might make these utterances and write these things down. Okay? So it comes through Jesus to the prophets. Now we know, as it says in the book of Hebrews in chapter 1, and we can turn there real quickly if you'd like to do that. In Hebrews chapter 1, we have Paul or whoever wrote Hebrews, maybe Barnabas or whoever wrote it. He says this, he says, "God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in time past to the fathers by his prophets, has in these last days spoken to us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, through whom also he made the worlds." So in times past, how did he speak? He spoke through the prophets, okay? But in this present time, he has spoken to us Through who? Jesus Christ. And notice that that's in the past tense. He's spoken to us through Jesus Christ. Now, as I said in Ephesians, it tells us that the foundation of the church and the giving of the scriptures is given through the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ being the chief cornerstone. So the apostles and prophets now of the New Testament time were giving us the very words of Jesus Christ. It's those words that establish us in the faith, that strengthen us, that grow us, that bring us into the presence of God. And that's really important, because today a lot of times people are saying, I really want to know the presence of God. I want to understand God more fully. And yet people are looking for all kinds of ways to find God and find the presence of God and come into God's presence other than coming to the Word, which is the only thing that can establish us. And I mean, I know you guys know this. You guys are Calvary Chapelites, right? We're the Word people. But you know what? The Calvary Chapelites are leaving the Word just like that, right and left. Okay, it's happening all over. There was a book that I just got for some guys down in Southern California, Calvary Chapel guys, and they're like, what's happening? You know, this new apostolic reformation is leading people astray from the church right and left. The young people are chasing after these new prophetic utterances and looking for these voices from Jesus that are coming through various supposed prophets and such. And people are being led after those things. And we're like, well, how's that happening? It's because people are no longer understanding that the only thing that can establish us, the only thing that can bring us into the presence of God, is the scriptures that have been given, the words of Jesus Christ that are written down on these pages that are made known to us by the Holy Spirit. You see, there is no private interpretation. There is no utterance but that which was from God given to these men. Okay, and these prophetic utterances have come forth to us and been written down on the page of these scriptures. And now it's the Holy Spirit who interprets them for us, okay, gives them to us so that we might have understanding of them. And it's in that understanding, as we grow in our understanding of these scriptures, not the words of men, and we're going to read some things that Paul said about that in a minute, not the words of men, it's these words by the Holy Spirit that establish us, that make us firm, that make us people that are not easily moved away. Paul desired to have some fruit amongst the Romans, and he knew the only way there would be fruit amongst them is if they were established firmly and grounded in the scriptures. That's the only way there could be fruit coming from their lives and them to be fruitful Christians. There's a factor in there too that relates to obedience that we're going to look at in a few minutes too. But let's go back to 1 Corinthians real quick. So Paul desires they're established. He knows that the establishment of them comes through the Word of God that's been made known through the New Testament prophets and apostles now. That mystery has been revealed. And what is that mystery, by the way? We find that mystery revealed to us in Ephesians 2 and Ephesians 3. Anybody know what the mystery is that was hidden in ages past?
Christ in us.
Christ in us. That's part of the mystery, okay? What else? Anybody else know what part of the mystery is? What was going on in that time? What was the formulation of the church all about? There's two groups of people from two entirely diverse backgrounds. There was, you know, that was how the world was set apart. There's these people over here and these people over here. What were those two people? Jews and Gentiles. And part of that mystery is them becoming one in Christ, in the body of Christ, and then being those people who were going to receive of the promise of Christ. What's the promise of Christ? What's the ultimate promise of Christ for each one of us as believers? Everlasting life, the resurrection. So that's the revealing of that mystery, that through Christ Jesus, this body, there would be fellowship between Jew and Gentile. We'd be brought into one body, the body of Christ, and we'd all be partakers in the promise of Christ. What an amazing thing. That wasn't fully revealed in the Old Testament. There was understanding, little bits and pieces of it coming through the prophets, but it didn't all come to fullness until Christ was crucified on the cross and raised from the dead. When that took place, then all of a sudden what we have is this opening up of this full revelation of what the Old Testament scriptures were speaking of, and now which the apostles and prophets were writing down on paper for us. And what a cool thing that we have the full revelation of Jesus Christ. You know, we don't have to guess. We don't have to guess what Jesus wants to have us know about him, okay? He wants us to know personally him, and he wants us to know personally him from these pages. And that's how he reveals himself. Now, you know, I was talking about this a couple weeks ago. Sometimes we come to the Word of God and we go, this is a really dry book, okay? And if we're honest with ourselves, there's time we start reading the scripture and go, okay, yeah, this is dry. You know why it's dry? Because when we come that way, we're not coming with ears to hear. We're not coming asking the Holy Spirit to give us understanding and right discernment. You see, we can't discern the scriptures apart from the Holy Spirit. There's no possibility of doing that. We're going to read that here in just a minute. No possibility of discerning the scriptures apart from the Holy Spirit doing a work to give us discernment and right understanding of it. And so when it's dry and doesn't seem to make a lot of sense, it's because we haven't really come to the Lord and said, give me understanding by your Spirit. You said that you would teach me. You would guide me. You'd give me understanding. So give me understanding of these things so that I might know from your word, these things that are written down, all that you want me to know about you, that I might know who you are, that I might come into the fullness of fellowship with you, that I might really come into the fullness of love. And that's really what he wants for us, isn't it? He wants us to grow in our knowledge of him. He wants us to grow in our love of him. Okay? And that's how we do it. Like I said, there's these other things, though, that have been creeping into the church that are telling us that they're going to bring us into the presence of God. They're going to help us understand God more and come into fellowship with him more. And they're all deceptions. Because Jesus himself will tell us, and we'll read this in a few minutes too, how we really have fellowship with him. Okay? We'll look at that. But I want to go to 1 Corinthians chapter 2 real quick. Paul once again confirming himself as an apostle. Okay? And confirming that he and other apostles were given the words of Jesus Christ to speak to these people and to the church overall, the body of Christ throughout the ages. He talks about that, and then he talks about the necessity of these things coming by the Spirit of God and not by the wisdom of men. And like I said, we get caught up sometimes in the wisdom of men and we think it's going to draw us nearer to God, and yet it takes us farther away and leads us off into the wrong things. He says this, and I, brethren, when I came to you, did not come to you with excellence of speech or of wisdom declaring to you the testimony of God. Okay, so Paul says it wasn't these flattering words, it wasn't this excellent speech, it wasn't my oratory skills that I came to proclaim this testimony. It wasn't with my own wisdom declaring to you the testimony of God. He says, for I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. By the way, does anybody know when Paul penned this? It was shortly after he left Mars Hill. Okay? Do you remember his interaction on Mars Hill? He went up and who was he with up there? He was with the Greek philosophers. And what are the Greek philosophers? What did they always want? The Greeks wanted to have knowledge, right? And so they were always talking in philosophical ways and wanting to be spiritual and all that too. And so Paul, when he went up on Mars Hill, if you read the account in the book of Acts, you notice there wasn't a whole lot. There was a few people saved, okay? And they wanted to maybe have him come talk to him again and entertain him. But when he began to speak of the resurrection of the dead, do you notice there that the conversation came to a screeching halt? It stopped right there. But Paul, as he was talking, seems to first have gotten almost caught up in their philosophizing. And I think it's interesting, he says, I determined to know nothing amongst you but Jesus Christ and him crucified. Not vain philosophy, not getting off into mincing of words and talking about this and talking about that, but getting right down to the nuts and bolts of the truth of the gospel and everything pouring forth from there. Nothing but that. So he says, I determined to know nothing amongst you but Christ and him crucified. I was with you in weakness and fear and much trembling. And my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and power. Now we know that the apostles, when they came preaching, it tells us in the book of Hebrews that when they came preaching, what accompanied their preaching? Signs and wonders accompany their preaching to verify and testify to the fact that they were apostles of Jesus Christ. And they were doing the very things that Jesus or that the prophets said would take place. The very kinds of miracles that Jesus himself would do that would verify and testify to the word of God were the very things they were doing to testify that they were God's men. Okay? Today we have those that want to claim to be apostles and prophets, and they claim that they have miracles that are following them around. And yet it's very interesting because their prophetic utterances, if you look closely at them, though they might use the name of Jesus, okay, though they might have little bits and pieces of scripture mixed in with what they say, they are not according to the sound words of Jesus Christ. So if there is signs and wonders that are following their prophetic utterances, and their prophetic utterances do not line up with the word of God that we have written down, this full revelation, the words of Jesus that he's spoken to us, if they don't line up with that, then the miracles and the signs and wonders are false, aren't they? And so we need to understand that. And I don't know how familiar you guys are with down south here of us. You drive south about 4 hours, you're going to end up at Bethel in Reading. Don't end up there. Okay? And I don't know how much you guys know about that. I'm sure you guys know what's going on there. But there is a place of false revelation. Okay? Tons of false revelation coming out of that place. Okay? And I know people who've personally attended their schools. They've come out of those somewhat confused. Okay? So we need to be wise to those things. You can go there and you can learn to become a prophet. Okay? Interesting. Last time I looked, that was a gift. Okay? It's a gift given by God. And in fact, the office of prophet from which we got the New Testament scriptures and the office of apostle are closed. Okay? If you look at them, they're not needed today. Okay? Because we have the ministry of the Holy Spirit coming through teaching. The equipping of the saints goes on that way today. You can verify that from Peter. As Peter was talking, when he said there's no private interpretation of Scripture, he says, here's a situation. There was false prophets. Now there will be false teachers amongst you. I think that's interesting. He didn't say anything about false prophets. He said something about false teachers. So today, if somebody tells you they're a prophet of God, what you should tell them is, no, actually, you're a false teacher, according to the Scriptures. Okay, I mean, that would be accurate according to the Scriptures. So we need to be wise to those things, wise to what's going on, and make sure that we're not receiving the wisdom of men, but we're hearing the utterances of God taught by the Holy Spirit. And where are those utterances going to come from? They're going to come from the Scriptures. Okay, it either lines up with the Scriptures or it doesn't. It's either in context with the Scriptures or it's not. Okay. An old saying, and I know A.W. Tozier said this, but it came long before him. He said this, and it's something to think about. If it's new, it is not true. If it's true, it is not new. Okay, and that's something to think about. As it said, Jesus and these utterances came through Jesus Christ. First, they were spoken by the prophets, but now he's spoken to us by his son, Jesus Christ. Okay? And that revelation is written down. So we need to be sure that when Jesus is speaking, it's lining up with this. It's coming from these scriptures that have been given by the apostles and prophets. So Paul goes on here. He says, for I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus and Christ and him crucified. I was in weakness, I was in fear and much trembling, and my speech and my preaching were not worth persuasive words of human wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Where is our faith to be? It's to be in God. It's to be in the power of God. It's to be in Jesus Christ himself. It's not in the wisdom of men. It's not in what men are going to bring about. It's not these philosophical things or emotional things that men come up with. It's not people's revelation, but it's the revelation that was given to holy men of old that has been written down. Super important. We understand that. He says, however, we speak wisdom among those who are mature, yet not the wisdom of this age, nor of the rulers of this age who are coming to nothing, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the ages of our glory, which none of the rulers of this age knew, for had they known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of men the things which God has prepared for those who love him. But God has revealed them to us. Now, when he says he's revealed them to us through his Spirit, he's talking about himself and the other apostles. Those things have been revealed to him, the other apostles and New Testament prophets. Okay? You can't stick yourself in there. Now, we certainly have God giving us understanding. The Holy Spirit gives us understanding, guides us in all truth from the Scriptures. But here he's speaking very clearly that these things were given to them, the men who were going to speak them. He says, but God has revealed them to us through his Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of man except the spirit of the man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit of who the spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. These things, so those things that were given to the apostles, given to the early New Testament prophets, he says, these things we also speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolish to him, nor can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he who is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is rightly judged by no one. For who has known the mind of the Lord, that way may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. So Paul is saying that the apostles have been given the mind of Christ to be able to share that with the body of Christ, to ground us in those foundational truths, the doctrines of Jesus Christ, the very words of Jesus. And so he says, we need to be careful not to get led astray by the wisdom of men. Okay, not be drug along by those things, but be those people who stay grounded and understand that we have the Holy Spirit then to give us that right discernment. So we can't understand those things. Paul and the apostles were given the Spirit to be given right discernment. Jesus himself said that he would send them the Spirit of truth that would remind them of the very things that he taught them so that they could share those. And that's what Paul's doing throughout the New Testament. That's what the New Testament writers, the apostles and prophets were doing. Giving us the very words of Jesus Christ, the very things that establish us in the faith, the very things that strengthen us and confirm us and keep us from being easily moved away. That's what Paul would have us do, as he said, I want you to be established in the faith. As I said, there are things that are always out there trying to move us away from the faith. We would have to call those then the words of men. That's what Paul is saying. There's the wisdom of man, and oftentimes the wisdom of man sounds almost godly, doesn't it? Now, how do we test the wisdom of man and whether it's the wisdom of man or the wisdom of God that we're in? How do we test that? The Scriptures. The only way we can test it is through the Scriptures. We have to rightly judge what we hear by the Scriptures. Okay? Now, what if we have a book written to us, and there's all kinds of books out there today. Tons of books where people are saying that they're hearing from Jesus. Okay? And some of them, they're speaking in first person, as though Jesus is speaking. Okay? Lots of different writers out there. Okay? Sarah Young, for instance. Everybody knows of Jesus Calling. Okay? It's been around for a long time. It comes from a book called God Calling that happened in the 1930s. Okay? There's books like that. There's all kinds of books out there where people are saying that they've been hearing from Jesus. Okay? So how would we know whether or not those people were hearing from Jesus? Do the words they speak actually line up with the words of Jesus Christ? Okay? That's the only way we could discern. And so we'd have to go to the Word of God and say, now do they line up? Okay? It's interesting because in some of those writings, as you look at them, you'll see the Word of God very clearly written. In fact, there'll be Bible passages written down and then a devotional passage to go with it. But when the devotional passage is written in first person as though it's Jesus speaking, then what we have to do with that is say, wait a minute. If that's Jesus speaking, then it has to also line up with what's written. Okay, if it's Jesus saying those things, then it has to line up with what he's already spoken. Now, does it line up? Or is it something that sounds entirely different than the words of Jesus Christ? And what you'll find, if you dig into these things, is oftentimes what you'll find is you'll have utterances that are supposedly Jesus speaking in some of these books and some of these teachings. I listened to some teachings here not long ago. This guy was talking about listening to Jesus. He wanted you to listen to Jesus and hear what Jesus had to say to you personally. Now, Jesus tells us the way we listen to him is by coming to his word. Okay, and the Holy Spirit giving us understanding of his word. But they're talking about listening to God and finding the presence of God, writing down the things that you heard from God. Okay? So you hear those things, and you hear these things that Jesus is telling you, you write them down. Well, I was looking at some of those from one of the teachings I was listening to, and I was looking at those from some of the books, and it was like, wait a minute. These words that supposedly Jesus are speaking, I can't find anywhere in the Scriptures. I just can't find them. They're not in the New Testament. They sound cool, but they aren't there. So if it's the revelation of Jesus that's coming forth to these people that are writing it down, and it's the words of Jesus, but it doesn't, and I can't find it in the Scriptures, then what do I do with it? What do I have to do with it? according to the scriptures, I have to turn away from it. Because the only way I can test the Spirit is to test it by the Word of God to see if these things be so. And so if they're not lining up with those words, they may sound wonderful, and oftentimes they sound very loving, they sound very, you know, warm and all those things. As one man said, he says, some of it sounds like a middle-aged woman talking. Sounds warm and it sounds comforting, but it isn't the words of Jesus Christ. Doesn't line up with what the scriptures say. So we have to look at those things and say, are those things going to establish us? Are they going to make us firm? Are they going to strengthen us in our knowledge of Jesus? Is there going to be fruit coming from our lives by those things? Or are those things things that are actually moving us away? Okay, and when I say moving us away, it's moving us away from the truth of Jesus given to us in the scriptures. And that's what we've got to really be discerning of, because we can be moving over to, as Paul said, another Jesus and a different spirit. Isn't that bizarre to think that we as Christians could be moved? Just as Eve was deceived by the serpent, he says. I'm concerned about you Corinthians, okay? I think he would say he's concerned about all of us. That just as Eve was deceived by the serpent, you might easily be deceived and moved away to another Jesus in a different spirit. We go, there's another Jesus? Well, there's all kinds of Jesus that people out there. Man's wisdom comes up with Jesus in their own image all the time in a different spirit. Different forms of the Holy Spirit that don't line up with the spirit and of the Word of God. Guys, years ago, Benny Hinn wrote a book. Anybody familiar with Benny Hinn? Benny Hinn wrote a book, Good Morning, Holy Spirit. Okay? And there was, I think, three spirits that he talked about throughout the book before it was all over. Okay? What's that? That would be a different spirit. Okay? He was leading people away to a different spirit, to a different Jesus, to a different gospel. Okay? He goes on to talk about it. He says, you know, it's not a wonder, though, that that can happen, because Satan himself does what? Does Satan come to us with his nasty look and his terrible attitude? No, he comes as an angel of light, ministering what? Love and compassion and care, because he's what? He's a wolf in sheep's clothing. He's not going to come looking like a wolf. He comes as this gentle one who is coming what? In the place of Jesus, and he comes and gives this nice message that makes us feel good, that pricks our emotions, but deceives us spiritually. He says, and it's no wonder that can happen, and it's no wonder that the church there at Corinth was being led astray, because what they were doing was listening to men who were proclaiming themselves to be apostles and prophets. And Paul says they're not at all. In fact, what they are workers of Satan. He says, it's no wonder that they get this message across, and you guys are being led astray to this different Jesus, because there's these false apostles that are coming in and proclaiming this false message about Jesus and a false spirit, and so they're being led astray. So they're not staying established, are they? Now, why is it so important that we stay established? Why is that so important that we stay established? You know, what does it matter if we're moved away or not? We're saved, right? We're saved to the end. Okay, by the way, if you want to know, I'm once saved, always saved. Maybe you disagree with me. That's all right. I'm once saved, always saved. That's the way I am, and that's what I believe from the scriptures, you know, and that's where I'm going to stand, and we can argue about that. Doesn't matter. But so what does it matter if we stay established? If we're saved, once saved, always saved, what does it really matter? Because Jesus called us to be fruitful. He called us to be people who abide in him and bear much fruit. John chapter 15, he wants to be fruit-bearing people. And we aren't fruit-bearing people unless we're established firmly in Christ Jesus. Until we're established in the doctrines and not easily moved away, then we're not people who are going to be abiding. We'll be drifting. And you know, we might be having a good time. I know lots of